Pastor Dave Rolfe says if you want to be happy, connect with the right kind of people.
You can't be happy alone. You can be okay alone. You can think and learn and heal and all sorts of things alone. But there's nothing like connecting with other people to have you really find how lucky you are, how blessed you are, how joyful you can be. It happens with people.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Would you say that you're happy today? Some may feel like it's an elusive target, or that it comes and goes based on the circumstances of their life. God wants to fill us with joy and show us how to experience happiness no matter what happens around us. As you might have guessed by now, today on The Balanced Word, we're talking about happiness and how to experience it. This is part of Dave Rolfe's series, Smarter Living, which is based in the Proverbs. And Solomon sure has a lot to say about happiness, as you'll soon see.
Then turn back to chapter 12 of Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and verse 20, he says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Have a heart for peace. In life, there are constantly people who are fighting. Do you have a heart to help people make peace? Peace is a big deal to God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. When Paul describes what it looks like when the Holy Spirit's really working in your life, when God's working inside of you, he says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Joy and peace together, yeah. Because ultimately, to bring people together is central in the way to find joy that you really desire. And so, and it's interesting that, you know, here in this verse, Solomon seems to be saying, if you have peace for others, that's going to give you joy. That's going to produce in you like, wow, you did the right thing. So often you see people who are feuding or fighting, and the easiest thing in the world is to just jump on the side of the person who comes to talk to you. They go, oh man, you'll never believe what so-and-so did. And the easiest thing is to go, oh, you are right, man. If I was you, I'd be loading my gun right now because that person is awful. You know, and then you talk to the other person like, oh yeah, they're horrible. And we feel kind of superior by being above it all. But the amazing, then you walk away and you're like, ah. You know, every time you have friends who are feuding, it's like it takes your peace away until you can find a way for peace and do what you can to tell both of your friends why they ought to appreciate each other and how this could work for them. Being a counselor of peace, it's for many of us, we don't even want that peace. And sometimes it's risky. Because if somebody comes to you and is mad at somebody else, if you try to calm them down, they may just aim their guns at you. I have this happen a lot of times. Somebody's like, I'm so angry with someone. So I go, well, calm down a little. What? Are you siding with them? Are you? But what's important is for me to figure out how to be happy. And a part of that has to be wanting peace for others and then speaking it to them. It's so interesting here. Often we think about what we think, but it's incredible, and there are a bunch of proverbs that do this, that tell us what you say to other people actually affects you more than it affects the person that you say it to. Communication is not just about you putting an idea across to someone else or you giving someone else wisdom. If you speak to someone in an angry way, what does it do to your heart? At the same time, if you speak peace to someone, it actually helps you be happy because you're like, well, I tried. I said what I could. I tried to do what I did. I'm out of it. Now it's not about me anymore. I'm speaking peace. I can speak my way to happiness and to joy. Over in chapter 15 and verse 23, same idea. Verse 23, chapter 15, Proverbs. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Isn't that interesting? I will find joy by the good things that I say. The way that I speak, the way my heart is toward what I speak with others in different ways. Words matter. They are important. If we took the time to go around this room, most of us can remember something that someone said that hurt that we'll never forget. And hopefully some of us can remember things that someone said to us that it's like, boy, I'll never forget that because it bolstered me, it strengthened me, it helped me. Do we understand that what we say to people in our lives leaves seeds for the rest of their lives, perhaps, and it also affects us? When I speak, when I tell someone, I really love you, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, things like that, it helps them maybe, but maybe they don't remember it anymore. But man, it helps me to be that person. And so, you know, if we want to enhance our happiness, be committed to doing the right thing, care about bringing people together, and speak your way to happiness. What you say, if what you're always doing is telling people all the bad news that's going on, reasons why, you know, the world is just going to pot and it's awful and this is, oh, you know, yeah, it's great. You know, the guy I wanted became president, but now he's hiring people he shouldn't hire. You know, but why is he talking to Romney? Why, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what? What you say matters and it lasts. And if you don't believe it, think about things that you remember that people have said to you and how it affected you. But even more than affecting the people you speak to, it affects you. Practice this. Try it. We're celebrating Thanksgiving. So start telling people already things that you're thankful for. They'll like to hear it. They would way rather hear that than all the nonsense that you normally spew at them. But the amazing thing is, when I tell people how thankful I am, I feel happier. I feel better. And this is a really important concept that Solomon tries to bring across. You can use your mouth in a way that will make you better, that will make you blessed, that will make you happy by what you say. I know, you know, there are times I really try to present just what the Bible says in a balanced presentation, and I want people to go away and feel like, wow, I was really encouraged, because I think encouragement is one of the most important things we can do for each other. But I know, too, sometimes you're going through the Bible and there's something that maybe it gets me kind of riled and I feel like beating people up a little bit. And then there are always some people in church who love that. Boy, you thrashed me today, Pastor. Thanks. And it's not really what I want. But, you know, if I feel like what I said actually gave people the hope to keep going, that their life could be better, I go away feeling so much better from it. And you will, too, when you do that. Now, that brings us to the subject of the environment for happiness. Because happiness, like anything, it flourishes in the right environment and it tends to be suffocated in the wrong environment. When you're putting in plants, you need to know, does this plant do best in shade? Does it do well with morning sun? Is it better as an indoor plant and so on? Well, our lives are that way when it comes to joy, when it comes to happiness as well. Now, one of the environments is found in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18, where he says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth." Do you ever make a strong connection with the idea that marriage, especially if you've been through a failed marriage or a difficult marriage, that the environment of marriage is a place where it should be fun, it should be happy, it should be celebrating, that's hard for some people to grasp, but according to Solomon, and let's face it, he believed in marriage, did it 700 times, but it's like, do you realize if you're married? Now, there are some of you here who aren't married. There are some of you who are single that wish you were married. There are some of you who are married that wish you were single. Put all that aside, and let's just talk about marriage in general. Did anyone ever teach you that marriage should be a place where you have fun, where you celebrate together, where you actually find joy? Is that what you bring to your marriage? Do you have fun in your marriage if you're married? And if it gets to where it's just not much fun anymore, you're missing out on one of the environments in which joy can just totally thrive, where happiness can flourish. And he says that. And again, I'm not saying marriage is the only environment. It's just one. And so since some of you are married, I'm bringing that up. But turn over to chapter 23, and we'll see sort of a related environment. Chapter 23, Proverbs, beginning with verse 15, he says, "My son," and he's talking here about family relationships, parents and children. Some of you have children, some of you don't, but every one of you is a child and came from the product of a family. "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things." Skip down to verse 24. "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Your family environment is the place where joy can most flourish, is the place where ultimately, and people who are totally boring, negative, bitter people so often, you put a kid in front of them, and they're like, "Whoa, this is great." It's why there are holidays. I mean, frankly, to a huge extent, I probably wouldn't do holidays if it wasn't for my kids and then now my grandkids. But family is that kind of an environment where you should deliberately and intentionally find ways to celebrate with intergenerationally, and you know, with kids, with parents, and so on. Family is that way, but for a lot of people, they have a tough time with that because, I mean, honestly, for some people, their family of origin wasn't, you know, Leave It to Beaver. It was like they grew up in a painful family. Their memories of family are just, oh, it was manipulative and controlling. It was legalistic and hostile, and nobody ever laughed, and nobody affirmed me, and I really never felt like I was accepted unless I did everything that they told me to do. Now, for every one of us, we are at least partly emotionally a product of our family of origin. So you look at that, and I'm not saying, hey, because your family was awful, you just can't be happy. But we have to understand that what we create today in terms of family will last. It will be passed on. We can break the cycle. I don't care how negative our family was. We don't have to be that kind of a person. We need to create celebrative, enjoying, affirming, accepting environments in our homes and among people who are part of our lives. Ultimately, happiness doesn't depend on marriage and kids. Family is a great environment in which happiness can flourish, but ultimately what it really is relationships. It's being connected to other people. So the people who are close to you, the people in your life, they are your family. And a lot of the people, and that's why the church is called the family of God, because we get together and we are connected, and it should become an attitude of, wow, we get to see each other. We are connected. We are family. It's why we do things like our Thanksgiving Eve service. Let's come together as a family and let's celebrate how good our life is, how good God has been to us, all that he has done for us. To create that family environment, we have to do it intentionally. It's why we have small groups that we encourage people to get involved. We have men's groups and women's groups and everything, because it's like these are environments that can breed happiness. Now, if you go to a small group and it's just really depressing, try a different one. Because the group that's the right group for you is a group where people are laughing, where they are supportive, where sometimes they cry, but they pray for you, and ultimately you go away feeling like, oh, that was good. That really felt good. Because we are designed to function as a family. And in this world, families fall apart, things happen, it's not easy, maybe all your memories of it are bad. So I challenge you to create the kind of family that you wish you had had with the people around you, whether it is your literal family or whether you're like, man, I love people at church, but I dread the holidays because relatives come over and I really don't want to see these people and I have so many negative memories of them. Suck it up for one day and then go celebrate the next day with your real friends and just go, boy, thank God holidays don't come that often. But make your own holiday with your own group of people, people who believe in you, who support you, who can laugh with you, who can enjoy things with you. Ultimately, relationships become the environment. And if we don't create relationships, it's highly unlikely that we're going to get past the hurdle to actually rejoice and have a happy life and feel like we're lucky. You don't feel like that alone. Now, some people certainly like to be alone. There's nothing wrong with that either. I'm somebody who actually like sometimes being alone. I've never felt lonely a day in my life. I saw a study this week that made me feel better about that because they determined that the more intelligent someone is, the less they need people to be around them. They like to be alone. So I'm sure that's it. Just like a messy desk shows your intelligence as well. I hang on to those truths. But ultimately, you can't be happy alone. You can be okay alone. You can think and learn and heal and all sorts of things alone, but there's nothing like connecting with other people to have you really find how lucky you are, how blessed you are, how joyful you can be. It happens with people. And it's one of the things that I love about social media. There are things I don't like about social media, but one of the things I love is you can put a picture of something that you're excited about, and a whole bunch of people you haven't heard from in a long time will say, "That's awesome. Congratulations." It's like you are with them. A friend of mine, Jeff, is a photographer for Motorcycle Magazine. And basically what he does with his life is he travels all over the world to really cool places and take pictures of people's popping wheelies. And it's like, I feel like I'm traveling. I feel like I'm there when I look at those pictures. There are other guys I know that just post beautiful things, and I'm like, wow, I'm sharing in that experience. It's so awesome. And ultimately, if you want to be happy, you need to ask yourself, am I putting myself in an environment that's conducive to happiness? And that environment means I'm connecting with people. I'm with them. And you have to find the right people. There are some people when you're around and they just bring you down. You need to find people who can laugh with you, who can celebrate with you. Yeah, who can cry with you when you need it. But you don't just need somebody who's a critic. You don't need somebody who you have to cater to them. You got some of those people in your life. I'm not saying get them out of your life. I'm just saying those aren't the people who are going to make you happy. The people who are going to help make you happy are the people who have a connection with God, and at the same time, they appreciate the value of joy, and they want to do that with you. They're happy for you, and you're happy for them. Now, in the scripture reading this morning, you guys read together Psalm 144. I love this psalm. Verse 1 of Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. I used to have that on the wall of my martial arts studio. I thought it was cool. But I think it's cool anyway because it's like the way that God blesses us is sometimes it's we're ready for the fight. We understand there are some things we're going to have to fight for, and we're prepared for it. We are trained. We're not just being blindsided by everything. But you read through this whole psalm. It's just so beautiful about God's protection and provision and all that. And then it ends up with verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Ultimately, happiness should belong to people whose God is the Lord. Now, who's God? So, first of all, it's the sense that God is my God. That's the one I'm connected to. That's the one that I'm in his family. whose God is the Lord. That is, he is in control. He can do anything that he wants to do. Ultimately, he's going to work everything out. That should make us happy. Now, for you who are Christians, who say that, yeah, God's my God, Jesus is my God, if you're not happy, then I just want to ask you really gently, are you really letting him call the shots? Do you have the confidence that says, my God sticks up for me, my God will protect me, my God will work everything out for good, and he's the Lord, so whatever happens, I'm going to take it as being from his hand. Sometimes we lose our happiness when we lose the sense of God's in charge, I'm not. He doesn't have to do what I want him to do. Whatever he does, I'm cool with it because he's my God and he is the Lord of my life. There might be some of you who have never even come to the point where you have decided to make him your God, your Lord. You're like, yeah, I believe in God. He's God, but I've never really personalized it and think he's my God. Now, I think he's kind of everybody's God, or he's like above all of that, and I'm just doing the best I can with my life. I just want to tell you, if you ever want to be happy, that's going to go beyond just an instantaneous burst of, you know, drinking too much or doing something crazy and thrilling and fun, and then you're like, well, I feel so empty afterwards. If you ever want to find a deeper joy than that, it starts with this. God wants to be your God, personally. And if you will let him be your God, and then you go, this God loves me so much, and I'm his. Whatever he does, I'm going to celebrate it, because he's the Lord. He can do whatever he wants, and I'm good with it, because I know he has me right where he needs me to be, right where he wants me to be. And so I will then connect with God as a source of happiness rather than with what happens as a source of happiness. And for every one of us, if we can't find something to be happy about, it's because we really aren't looking to him as our God and our Lord. We really aren't letting him do whatever he chooses to do.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roff. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Now to finish our time in a word of prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thanks for the fact that even though an awful lot of things that have happened in our lives weren't happy things, yet you're the God who loves us, who is willing to die for us so that you could bless us, so that you could show us what happiness is really like, so that you could fill us with your joy and your love and your peace. So God, help us to pay attention when there's holidays and make sure that we use those to prime the pump of being the kind of people who just feel blessed, who just feel like we're lucky to have a relationship with you, lucky to have friends in our lives, lucky to have connections with others. And for those of us who are kind of doing it alone, please help us to make those connections so that we can truly experience that joy. And for people who need to start over with you, I pray that you'll give them the courage to just come down to the front and go, I want God to be my God. I really want to live my life maximizing the opportunities to be happy in Him and with Him. And Lord, please just show them in their hearts that this actually is true. This can really happen. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll hear more about the way to smarter living as we dive deeper into the Proverbs next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. God bless. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.